Shall we do this by topic? So we've got some traders, we've got some bankers, we've got some eaters, and we've got some polluters. What we do? Should we take some food people first? Who are food tables? Are the three of you? Okay, you've got rapporteurs. Are the people who said yeah? Why don't you go ahead? Let people know who you are, and then give us your gems.
Yes, we're feeding the world. And so my name is James Wheatley. We're going about the points that we've got here, point one to four. First point is domestic circumstances that we said related to the first point. On the second point, we talked about accountability and coordination that was required for effective global governance. On the third one, we looked at if it was legitimate and where does it actually come from, the legitimacy. You know, we're saying, is it authoritarian or is it a benevolent legitimacy that's set up? It's a very important point on this. And lastly, it's civil society participation that relates to the fourth point about if global governments could be improved in the future.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah. Leave it to us. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. James. Okay, super. Another feeders. In the back? Who's got the mic?
Hi. Well, we were talking about all sorts of things. I suppose probably our main theme was, as consumers, how confusing it can be to make decisions about where to buy your food from and what sort of things to buy. And the difficulty between, as an individual, taking responsibility for food and looking to global markets or global institutions to make those decisions for us and regulate food for us. Mm. So on the one hand, we sort of recognise the responsibility we've got, but where do we get information about, you know, which types of food systems are beneficial for the world and so on. And we also talked about the tension between UK food policy and global food policy. So for example, who should take responsibility for food poverty and malnutrition in the UK? Is it a question for the individual, for the UK government, for the charities, for global government? So yeah, there were some of the things that we talked about.
Brilliant, thank you, very good. Third food table, yeah?
Ours was a bit less systematic. We thought that global governance of food is very inequitable because there are people starving, and so that was a clear no. How can we change that? We thought that we could redistribute it. Mark is from Food Life Sciences, so he figures we import 40% food in the UK, so everybody in the UK should go on a diet. Yeah. And so we should redistribute the rest. There was a problem of kind of how we as individuals do things. And, sorry, what's your name? Koska had an issue with the fact that when we as individuals decide to kind of click onto things and say we object, it makes us lazy. We don't get angry enough to protest or to do something to change the problem, and so that might be a bit of an issue. In terms of solutions, we think that unless we make prices really high, there is no way in which people will stop eating more, and so we need some global regulatory mechanism of some sort. So yeah, that was it.
Tough regime. Okay, but slacktivism is not enough. There was actually one thing on food. You said redistribute. There was in 1946, 1947, something called the International Emergency Food Council, and it authoritatively reallocated food from food deficit areas to food surplus, from food surplus areas to food deficit areas for 2 years. Of course, that's when the food shortage was in Europe. And once the food shortage in Europe was finished, they decided they didn't need it anymore. Okay, what have we got for finance? Are you finance? Let's hear from finance. We need a mic for finance over here. We need a mic for finance over here as well, coming up. Okay, let's hear from finance number one.
Yeah. Well, we disagreed. But so I'm just going to draw out some of the things that we did agree on, which is that credit agencies are a problem. They have self-interest that aren't motivated by the greater good, and that part of the problem is that we relied on credit agencies. We don't think they should be controlled, by the way. We think they should have the right to say whatever they want, like any individual. But we do think it's a problem that they are relied on. And part of the problem seemed to be that we have a very contractual view of the world, which says, you know, as soon as we've done a contract, it's just between us, it's just been the two contractees, contractor and contractee, and it relates to no one else at all. So that when it comes to financial products, what you find is it stops being the original arrangement, but it's sold on, as if the only thing that exists is that between those two individuals. And as was pointed out, in fact, these involve a lot of externalities, and what should perhaps be happening is that these externalities should be calculated within each ongoing contract and the chain of contracts, so that we don't have this sort of pretense of individualism, when in fact what we have is a very social set of mechanisms going on. And then there was an awful lot of other stuff that we didn't agree on, but we can skirt over that.
Okay, great. Over here, finance. Yes. Do you also go on credit agencies?
Actually, we talk more about the general ideas, and we have a very good conversation about the world government. First, should we have a world government, or could we have a world government in very very long term? Perhaps not in our generation. because we find a lot of the problems of the global governments caused by the communication problems within the different organizations or government. So I believe, and we have a debate on that, the world government may help. And also we talk about the inequality, the long-term development, so, and several general things.
Okay. I'm making it a bit bilateral. What about other people? What have you heard? We're halfway through. You've heard about from finance, you've heard from food. Anything you like that you've heard from the tables? Anything you want to challenge? You all like world governments? Go ahead.
So I didn't say that we should control rating agencies. I think they have to be liable for what they're saying. So if they're saying this is a good product, we rate a AAA and you spend £1,000 on it and it's a shit product which should be rated ZZ-, then they should give you your £1,000 back because they gave you the wrong advice. So you don't have to tell them what they have to say, but if they say something, they have to be liable for what they are saying. Yes.
Okay. Jonathan?
In slight defense of the rating agencies, from a game theoretic perspective, what they say is cheap talk. It's a platform on which we could coordinate, and it may be that rating any particular asset is an impossibility in a complex and interlinked financial system. Because you can control you can assess the idiosyncratic risk, but you certainly can't assess the systemic risk. On the other hand, they certainly do lack legitimacy, and the point I wanted to make was about world government. On the one hand, the bigger you get, the bigger your scope, and the more you can at least, in principle, encompass global problems. But you lose effectiveness, you lose democratic accountability, and Copenhagen was a perfect example of that, if you want an environmental example. And Basel III is another.
Okay, so another comment over here? And then we'll start moving to other tables. World government, that's interesting.
Just from feeding the world, we're just wondering whether credit agencies should be allowed to speculate on the price of, I don't know, chili or rice. So, and who's going to make them accountable? Is it the people in Burma? So you have a problem.
Yeah, okay. There's a debate about some of this, isn't it? Whether some of the recent food problems have not been actually caused by climate or by crop failures or whatever, but actually by financial machinations, and then indeed.
Or by food aid. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing about the Marrakesh Agreement, right? That if you provide food to a country at a guaranteed price, which happens to be below the world price, that food's never going to reach any 100 miles in that country.
No, indeed. But there's a general question about accountability here, isn't it? When things go wrong in national governments, you kick the blankers out at the next election. But when the global governance arrangements fail, everyone points the finger at somebody else, and we wait for the next mistake. So okay, good. Let's hear from employment and trade.
So we began by discussing some of the problems with global trade, and one of the things we focused on were the problems with primary commodities markets. So the extreme price volatility in these markets and the dependency of some countries on these markets. Another issue we discussed was that global trade aggravates problems that capitalism faces at a domestic level. So, I mean, at a domestic level, you already have a power imbalance between capital and labor. If you move towards the global level, this imbalance is aggravated because capital is so much more mobile than labor is. Just some of the things we discussed, and then moved on to looking at some possible solutions. And one thing we looked at here was capacity building and how it was realized by, or is currently being realized by, the IMF and the World Bank as the whole good governance agenda. And we looked at some of the problems with that. We also discussed, just reverberating what had been said before, what role individuals might play in. We looked at fair trade and kind of arrived at a general consensus that it's probably not the ideal solution because it's just so limited in scope to make a serious difference. Our main concern here was how we might make prices more stable and how we can get more value to the producers. It's obviously up for discussion, all these issues. So we didn't really arrive at a general consensus or conclusion.
It would have been pretty remarkable if you did. okay, well, I'm just interested. You said that capital moves around, but labor doesn't. Is the answer to make labor move around? Open question. Want to take a table here, or take the table, one of the trade tables, or give each of them a mic, see how they go.
Yeah. Hi, we didn't really discuss about the trade.
Okay, tell us what you did discuss about.
But we discussed about crisis, which I think affects the trade and the feeding and the financial markets. And we actually used the European model to simulate global governance. And you know that European Union have the same, countries have the same currency. And under this situation, the crisis situation, where all political parties are kind of united in order to face this European crisis, we discussed how effective was this decision between all the political parties, and we tried to figure out how effective would be global governance in terms of dealing with crisis. That's all. Thank
you. Okay, great. So Europe has the answer for the world again?
No. Not really. No.
You discussed it as a proposition.
Okay. Yeah, no, okay. Not as a proposition. We used European Union as a model to think about if we want global governance, and if we need it, then what kind of concepts should be addressed under the European model, which is a very good model because we have the same currency, we have like the same market, and under this crisis situation, all major political parties are united. So we thought that, can they deal with it, and do we need global governance after all? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what was our discussion all about.
Okay, good. That's good. Thank you.
Similarly, we didn't exactly have a particular focus on these four questions, but we did talk about several issues which I thought certainly apply to the idea of global governance and its effectiveness. I think chief among them, something that really kind of dominated the discussion was like power relations, the kind of relationship of power between those who have wealth, those who kind of have the access to determining trade and employment, and those who don't, and whether or not at an individual level, if this is a negative implication for any kind of form of global governance. We discussed the idea of global inequality created by unequal patterns of trade, and how we looked at different concepts of labor, and for a bit we discussed the international labor standards and how in some cases, especially in the West, it seems to be supported by some labor unions, while labor unions in the developing world are largely opposed to the idea of labor standards. We also looked at the role of the media in how it propagates information about trade and employment and global governance as a general rule. I would say almost unanimously kind of came down pretty harsh against powerful elites and the wealthy in this context. So I think this group certainly had its opinions on that. And overall, I think we, towards the end, the final question that we had was whether or not what it takes to have kind of a new form of global governance, a new system. And I think we looked at the current style of global governance, how it was created, the context in which it was created, only to then conclude that, unfortunately, it probably requires World War III to have a new system of global governance entirely different from the current one.
Okay, well, that's one suggestion. okay, shall we have global warming has gone very collective, global community. You've all gone around one table.
Now that we got that sorted, in terms of the questions that we were supposed to answer, I think we started with the first point, and I think that was also something we actually agreed on. There isn't much global governance, at least it isn't very visible in terms of global warming. And then I think we also agreed that it's not effective and it's not really legitimate, and we had a big discussion about how to improve it. But we touched upon a range of other points. We looked at how urgent the problem of global warming actually is, and if it's actually a concern for all of us, and for whom it might be a concern. And there was some debate and disagreement here. But in terms of what can be done, we also had a big focus on individuals and grassroots movements, bottom-up movements. And one key point that came up was trying to kind of educate people better all across the world. And we also, one point that also came up was to divert, in Western countries at least today, divert certain government spending, in particular military spending, to foster more environmentally friendly technology and consumerism. And we also, not that we talked about a third world war, but we also thought that maybe we need another crisis, or at least a proper crisis, to make the problem of global warming more visible, so a crisis to act as a facilitator. And we briefly thought about that maybe we do need big countries to do something as well. So we thought about maybe it's key to involve China and the US to do something, but we couldn't really figure out how to make them comply to anything or agree on anything. That's basically what we did.
Okay, very, very good. Any comments on the second set of things that you heard? Sharifa?
I think in our group we talked about education as well.
Education as well, okay.
As a means of feeding people, but then we were not really sure, because unless you can't really educate people, well, you can, but we were very divided as to whether it makes people eat better if their choices are kind of not more available. So we did think that we should remove all Kit Kats and canned soda from vending machines, but that was about it.
Okay, James needs a new slide. Any other comments? Yeah, good, Manjisha.
We also, in our group, touch upon this question of ethical education in relation to bankers and people who are involved in the financial sector. So just want to make this point.
You educate the bankers.
Yeah, ethical education.
Ethical education. Yeah. Okay, good. Anything else over here, Jonathan?
Yes.
You've got a mic just behind you.
Thank you. World War III came up because we'd made the observation that most of our supranational governance institutions came out of World War I or World War II. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the crisis was not only an inevitable consequence of the function of the system, but maybe as important to its continued health as sleep is to the continuation of conscious life. I mean, there was another further point, which is to do with ethics and values. One can imagine a government that gives voice to people's common values, if they have common values. Clearly, at a global scale, from all we've heard, they don't. So that issue about whether we might need value-free governments that were purely technocratic to allow the system to be self-regulated in the sense that it does what people expect it to do, and therefore they know what they can do in its context, might be better than one that sees a wrong and sets out all fiery-eyed and warm of heart to right it.
Okay. So technocracy, value-free technocracy is both possible and desirable. Okay. Well, actually, I was also thinking as you were talking, what has been the biggest spur to growth and innovation, institutional innovation in the nation state? Redistribution in the welfare state. Yeah. Didn't need a war. So maybe global redistribution could be the big spur to expansion and innovation in the in global governance.
Didn't that come from the Depression?
We seem to have one now. So. Very nice. I mean, there's a lot of very interesting ideas, and also the diversity of ideas is really interesting here too. We've had people say we need world government on the one hand, which is very kind of top down. We've heard people say bottom-up education, which is very much coming from another side. We've heard people say redistribution. We've heard people say war. Anyway, I think it's all indication that, you know, the debate goes on. Thank you very, very much for contributing to us. We've recorded all of this on tape, so we'll be assembling all the ideas in that way. We're going to grab your tablecloth after you leave. So please, if you've got anything else you want to let us know that hasn't been able to come out of the discussion, please scribble it on the tablecloth, and all of those comments from the tablecloths are going to be collated and then presented back to us who have been working on the panel here, so we will get all your views. And then as the Global Priorities Program in Global Governance, we're working on an agenda, we're working towards major research programs so we can steal your ideas and get major grants on the basis of them and give you absolutely no credit whatsoever, except having had a nice meal, which I hope you've enjoyed. Thanks very much for coming, and there will be a break in the Ideas Cafe, I believe, now until the autumn. But do watch the website, the Insight, and so on, and you'll see the next Ideas Cafes advertised when you get back from the summer break. Okay, thank you very much, and have a good evening.